morning. I welcome all of you to Stanmore Baptist Church. And I want to, from my family and from the church leadership, I would like to also resonate a blessed Christmas to all of you. May the Lord bless you, protect you, keep you, and give you real blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have gathered here for a special Christmas service. Millions of people around the world celebrate Christmas. People of all age celebrate Christmas. Different people do different things, but many things are common. For example, decorating homes, exchanging gifts, eating good food together with family and friends. And they all are good things. But unfortunately, many people don't know the real meaning of Christmas. It is more so in Australia. It is getting so much now in India as well, when people don't know the real meaning of Christmas. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Christmas is a festival that people celebrate because a baby named Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in a small town called Bethlehem. So Christmas is a celebration, a festival that people celebrate concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. My dear friends, Christmas is not about a tree or a cake or cookies. Christmas is not even about Santa or an old man. Christmas, the Bible says, is all about the birth of Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it is called Christmas. Christmas. The Bible says several people celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ when he was born. Some were shepherds. Some were the wise intellectual astrologers. The birth of Jesus brought good news for people. And this good news was for people of all races, of all regions, of all religions. So what is that good news? What's the good news that Jesus brought by coming into this world, by being born into this world? Why is the birth of Jesus so significant that it calls for worldwide celebration? Around 3 months ago, we had a baby boy born to us. And that baby brought so much joy for us and for our family and for our friends. But the good news and joy of his birth, our baby's birth, was limited to some people and to a certain time. But on the other hand, the good news and joy of the birth of Jesus is not limited to some people or to a certain time. For the last 2,000 years, people of different generations, people of different continents have celebrated the birth of Jesus. Then we are at the same place again. Why is the birth of Jesus so significant that it calls for celebration even after 2,000 years? Why is it so important? First of all, we must know the meaning of the name of Jesus. When he was born, his parents named him Jesus. They named him Jesus because he was going to save his people from their sins. Jesus was a Savior who was born to save people from their sin. So that's about the meaning of the name of Jesus. But do we know more about him? Who was he? What did he do? The Bible says Jesus was miraculously conceived in the womb of a young girl called Mary without any sexual relationship. The Bible says it was God who made that conception possible. So Mary was the biological mother of Jesus, but he did not have any biological father. That woman Mary was engaged to a young man called Joseph, and later they got married. Joseph and Mary raised Jesus in their home. At the age of 30, Jesus began his mission for which he came. What was that? He began to teach and preach about the holy God and his kingdom. Jesus also healed the sick people because he wanted to display how the things would be in the kingdom of God. The Bible says great crowds came to him. And out of that, he chose 12 disciples for himself. The Bible says out of his compassion, Jesus did many miracles and healings. He taught and preached to thousands of people. And people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them with authority. Jesus said in one of his sermons, "I am the way and the truth and the life." You see, dear friends, Jesus did not show people the way from a distance. Rather, he said, "I am the way. Walk on me. Follow me." People don't have to seek the truth in science or philosophy or through meditation. Jesus said, "I am the truth. Receive me. Hold on to me. Be satisfied in me." Jesus also said, "I am the life." The Bible says Jesus is the source of eternal life, a life that never ends, a life that does not terminate in death. If ever we needed life, it is in this year. We need life from Jesus. Not simply physical life, but eternal life, a life that never ends. The Bible says Jesus was sent by God and he spoke the words of God. Jesus lived a perfect life. It means he never committed any sin. It also means he perfectly obeyed the commands of God and he perfectly fulfilled all the requirements of God. Living a holy life and preaching about a holy God was not easy for him. The Bible says some people began to hate him because they were envious of him and his popularity. Others began to hate him because Jesus exposed their religious hypocrisy. And still others hated him because he called people to turn away from their sins. People loved their sin and they hated Jesus. The hatred against Jesus grew pretty rapidly, and soon people began to make plans to kill him. They trapped Jesus in false accusations and brought him to the religious and political authorities. And although they did not find any fault in him, people cried for his blood. And finally, under the public pressure, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, he sentenced Jesus to be crucified. Jesus was mocked and brutally tortured before he was crucified along with two other criminals. In a few hours' time, Jesus gave up his life. It was a Friday afternoon. He was buried by his disciples. The Bible says a few women, disciples, got up early morning on Sunday to visit the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. They wanted to embalm the body of Jesus. But the Bible says when they reached the tomb, they did not find Jesus' body. To their shock, they saw an angel who told them that Jesus has risen from the dead. Later, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and they were shocked too. They were all shocked because they never saw such thing happen before it. And neither did they expect Jesus to rise from the dead. So they all were shocked. The Bible says Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, and then Jesus ascended. He went up to heaven, and he promised that he will come again one day to take all of his disciples with him. So that's a brief sketch of Jesus' life. He came to live, to die, and to live again. Jesus' birth was so significant because the purpose for which he was born was very significant. Dear friends, let us dig deeper into the meaning of Jesus' birth, his death, and his resurrection. And we need to hold these three important things together: his birth, his death, and his resurrection, rising from the dead. We have already said that Jesus was born to save his people from their sin. Jesus is a savior of sinners. The Bible says that every individual human being has sinned against God. Not just once, but again and again and again. Each of us have broken God's commands. Each of us have failed to give honor and worship that is due to God. Each of us have not done what God required of us. And each of us have done exactly what God hates. And my dear friends, it is not just us who are sitting here. All the human beings who have ever lived in this world, they have sinned. But the question is, why is that? It is because we are all born with a sinful nature within us. Because of this sinful nature, the only thing we want to do is sin. We have sinful nature, and the only thing we want to do is sin. We want to run away from God. We want to do exactly what God hates. This sounds harsh. Now, somebody might say at this point, but people are not as bad as the Bible says they are. It is true that people are not completely evil, as if there is no good in them. From human perspective, people do good things. From human perspective. But from God's perspective, people always do evil because of their sinful nature. But how did this sinful nature come in each one of us? The Bible says the first human beings God created were Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve, this first couple, in his own image. But this first couple, this first human couple, broke the command of God. And as a result, sin entered the human race. So what is sin? Sin is basically breaking the command of God. When they disobeyed God, when they broke the command of God, Adam and Eve, sin entered human race. And since Adam was the representative head of all human race, his sin affected all who were born after him. Each human being born after Adam's sin carried the guilt of Adam's sin. And not only that, each one inherited Adam's sinful nature. So when the babies are born, they carry two things. Apart from the cuteness they carry, the sinful nature within them, and the guilt of Adam's sin they carry. And as a result, the inclination of human heart is always to do evil, the Bible says. The Bible says all, which means all have sinned and fallen from the image of God. The Bible says the wages or reward of sin is death. People commit sin and they deserve their wages, which is death. According to the justice of holy God, when one person sins, he must die. Now we all know how many times we sin every day. Just think about yesterday. So each person must die not just once, but many, 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 many times. But that's not impossible. How can a person die more than once? A person can only die once. Only one sin can be paid for. But what about the hundreds and thousands of other sins that people have committed? What about those sins? Since we have failed to honor and worship God, we have incurred a huge debt upon ourselves. Each one of us has that huge debt upon ourselves. And we have gotten into a big problem. 11th century Christian scholar named Anselm understood this problem. Punishment should fit the crime. Since every sin is committed against an infinite God, every sin deserves infinite punishment. Man has a huge debt that he must pay because of his sin. But the problem is that he cannot pay. This huge debt can only be paid by God. So you understand the problem? And the problem is, this huge debt can only be paid by God, but the problem is that God does not owe the debt. So there is a big dilemma, there's a big problem here. Only man should, but he cannot. Only God can, but he should not. That's the problem. God solves this problem by sending his son into the world. The second person of the triune God became man in Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was fully God and fully man. God's Son took upon Himself human nature and born as a baby and was named as Jesus. Now Jesus was miraculously born of Virgin Mary, and that is why He did not inherit sinful nature from Adam. It is because sinful nature and guilt of Adam's sin is carried from biological father. And since Jesus did not have any biological father, He did not inherit sinful nature. Not only that, Jesus did not commit any sin in His life. So you understand the difference? Jesus did not inherit sinful nature, and He did not commit any sin. That's why He was perfectly obedient to God the Father. There was no sin in Him. There was no sin in Him. He was holy, perfect, blameless, spotless. He lived a perfectly obedient life according to the will of God. Jesus fulfilled all the requirements and expectations of a holy God. If that is the case, if Jesus was perfect and He did not commit any sin, then the question comes to us, then why did He die? Why did He die? Jesus died in order to provide forgiveness of human sin. The Bible says clearly, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. If there has to be forgiveness, there has to be a blood shed. Jesus died and shed His blood so that He can provide forgiveness of sin. Jesus took upon Himself the just punishment of human sin and died on the cross. Jesus died in place of sinners. I was a sinner, and I should have died, but Jesus died on my behalf, on my place, in my place. Not only that, the Bible says He rose again from the dead to give new life to sinners. What's the problem with this life? A lot of problems. Jesus rose again from the dead to give new life to each one who comes to Him. The resurrection of Jesus proved that His sacrifice for human salvation was accepted by God, because God raised Him from the dead. My dear friends, Jesus' death was not an accident. Jesus' death was not a tragic story of human injustice. The Bible says the death of Jesus was part of the plan of God for human salvation. And the resurrection of Jesus proves that it was part of God's plan of salvation. The Bible says Jesus lives forever now to give eternal life to anyone who comes to Him. My dear friends, in real sense, Christmas is not just another festival. Christmas brings a message of hope and eternal life to us. Christmas brings the greatest news that we can ever hear in our lives. And we need to hear good news these days more so, as we are hearing all the negative news on television. Christmas reminds us that a Savior is born, lived a perfect life, died a death of a sinner, and rose again from the dead to establish peace between a holy God and a sinful man. My dear friends, we cannot deny the fact that we are sinners. I think that will be a ridiculous thing. If someone says, I am not a sinner, that will be a ridiculous thing. And maybe a greatest lie. We cannot deny the fact that we are sinners. And we cannot blame people or culture around us for our sins. We cannot do that. We need to own the responsibility of our sin. If you feel convicted of your sins, you need a Savior who can redeem you from your sins. Jesus is that Savior. Jesus can save you from the wrath of Holy God, the anger of Holy God, which will fall on all sinners one day. If you turn around from your sins and believe that Jesus died to forgive your sin, you will be saved from the wrath and the anger of God. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you hear the voice of God this morning, do not harden your hearts. Come to Jesus and find life. Come to Jesus and be saved from the anger and the wrath of God. Come to Jesus and find peace with God. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you are like a man who doesn't know how to swim like me, and who is drowning in the Pacific Ocean, in the cold Pacific Ocean. And no matter what that person does, he cannot save himself. He's drowning and drowning deep down under the water, and there is no help. That person needs a Savior. And my dear friends, this analogy makes some point, but it's not the perfect analogy. The fire of hell will be hotter than the cold water of Pacific Ocean. It will be more dangerous than any death a person can die. We all are heading towards death if we don't have Christ. It is Christ alone who can save us. And my prayer for you this morning, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters, is that you would come to Christ and find life in him, because he alone can save you. And this is my prayer, that you would choose Jesus and not the world, that you would choose life and not death, that you would choose heaven and not hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word. And Lord, we are among those who celebrate the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this world. We thank you, Lord, that his birth was so significant that we even celebrate his birth after 2,000 years. Father, we pray that, Lord, you continue to remind us from the Bible that you loved us, you cared for us, and you wanted us to be saved from your wrath. So you sacrificed your Son, Jesus, on the cross, that he would shed his blood, and that by shedding his blood, he can provide forgiveness for human sin. And Father, we pray that as we have heard your word, the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, in our minds, that we understand and we believe the truth of the gospel, and that we may come to Jesus and find our only Savior. In Jesus' name we pray.